Welcome to Well Within Reach, an MTS Therapy and Wellness podcast. MTS Therapy and Wellness is an independently, locally owned company by a group of therapists with a home base in Lafayette, Louisiana since 1983. The company was started by maverick physical therapists for their time who had a desire to treat patients from a holistic perspective. The company is now led by a group of individuals who are bonded together by their same idea from 30 years ago, treating people wholly through the common disciplines of physical, occupational, and speech therapy. We share a common desire to treat our clients and our team through mind, body, and spirit. Our tribe of professionals have come together to form a perfect storm of therapy know-how and personal growth cravings. As a rapidly growing company, we are always looking to expand our footprint and our tribe. Our goal is to help people on their journey toward their best self. The goal of this podcast is to share information that we find important and interesting as we navigate the world of therapy, business, and leadership. Your goals are well within reach. We are here to help. And today, I would like to welcome today's podcast guest, Mr. Brian Saunier, owner and administrator of MTS Physical Therapy. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, JD, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us and provide some nuggets of gold to our audience today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yes, sir. We're going to talk a little bit about the introduction of Mr. Brian as we get into it. Brian, if you could just share with us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Sure. I like to introduce myself as a husband, as a father, as a standard poodle owner, as a community participant. My vocation is a physical therapist. I work in the world of therapy and wellness. I'm a coach, and I hope that I'm considered a friend to many.
Definitely seems like you're performing a lot of those roles. Let's just dig a little bit deeper in that. How challenging is it to be a standard poodle owner?
It's a good question. It's a challenge. Nash is a standard poodle. He's 4 years old, and he is a work, and it requires a lot of love and care, but it's great. It's a joy. He brings a lot of joy to our family.
Gotcha. I know you're a great father as well, and not only to your own kids, but to a lot of individuals in the community as well. How would you compare raising a dog to raising kids? Challenging or not the same? Are there a lot of similarities in that?
I was gonna see if you'd accept yes as the answer. There's a lot of similarities inside of there. It actually there's plenty of opportunities that I could go back to, experiences that I can go back to and share with you from, man, Nash did this when I did this and this and responded so much better. And then I was able to apply that same principle, that same strategy to my boys and vice versa. It's just a lot of learning on my part. Both my boys and Nash have made me a better father.
Yeah. And as Brian said, definitely a lifelong learner. And that's just one example of how he's learned from both raising kids and raising his dog. Let's jump right in to learn a little bit more about Mr. Brian Saunier on the podcast today. Brian, tell us a little bit about your background, about your education, your clinical experiences. Share with the audience where you come from a professional standpoint.
So I'm a big believer that we are a result, a total accumulation of everything that we experienced. So if we're going to get into my education, I got to bring up the big town of Cecilia. Graduated from Cecilia High School, was fortunate enough after my time at Cecilia to earn a scholarship to participate in football and track at the University of Louisiana, formerly known as USL. The Raging Cajuns. And while I was there, I got a major in a bachelor's degree in kinesiology, moved on to physical therapy and participated in the physical therapy program at Louisiana State University Health and Science Center up in Shreveport, Louisiana. I graduated from there and have been fortunate enough to be working with McLeod Trahan Sheffield, then now MTS, Therapy and Wellness.
So, how about your clinical experiences? Were most of them done in Louisiana in the southern part, or did you travel anywhere for your clinical experiences while in PT school?
I was fortunate enough to be able to accomplish those here. And, you know, my clinical experiences, just great rotations, great places. I spent some time up in Shreveport with Ms. Sharon Dunn, Dr. Sharon Dunn, our leader of APTA now. And then I also was fortunate enough to spend some time with Max McLeod and just hang out with him, and tons of knowledge, foot and ankle, low extremity mechanics. Both of those experiences were very valuable and stand out to me throughout my rotations.
Definitely got a wealth of knowledge from Brian here from his educational and his clinical background. We're going to jump into a little bit of specialty area and treatment rationale. I know Brian is certified in a specialty certification. Can you share a little bit about your background with Gary Gray and the certification that you've received through his company?
Gary Gray is I can't say enough about him as a person, as a professional. He's had a huge impact on my life. I was fortunate enough to meet Gary in 2007 at one of his chain reaction courses. I went on to get a certification in applied functional science and also a fellowship in applied functional science. And both of those certifications and just the time that I've spent with Gary has drastically impacted my life personally and professionally. And from a greater awareness of the many, many variables that impact our health and well-being, and taking those into consideration as we aim to help ourselves to become better, and equally as important, you know, when working with our clients to be able to help these guys become better.
Gotcha. And you did receive a certification through his company. Go a little bit more into the GIFT program and what that entails, and how's that changed some of your treatment rationale?
So GIFT is it's Grand Institute of Functional Transformation. It's a 40-week fellowship, and it takes the things that I believe we all value, but it really brings them into a perspective and allows clinicians to better apply them. You know, things like sleep and nutrition and musculoskeletal system, the proprioceptive system, someone's mental and spiritual well-being, and allows you to understand the vastness of those, while also bringing them in into applicable ways, so that while with an individual right in front of us, you know, when I first got out of school, I'd like to take this time to maybe apologize to some of those people that I worked with during that time. I was so focused in on the injury that was in front of me, you know, the ACL that was in front of me, the hurt shoulder that was in front of me. And I missed out on opportunities to really widen my scope and focus more on the person in front of me, mentally, physically, and spiritually, and the roles that that person plays, and the ways that that individual and through our relationship could maybe be encouraged to go out and be a stronger participant in our community and more of a difference maker in our community, in his or her homes or workplaces or schools. And that strategy, that thought process, is something that I was fortunate enough to experience and be exposed to by journeying through the GIFT fellowship.
And, you know, there seems to be a lot of GIFT fellows out there. Do you stay in contact with a lot of the individuals that went through the program at the same time, or do y'all get together on an annual basis or every so often to discuss changes or just stay in contact with each other?
Yes, it's a great question. The GIFT, once you've gone through the GIFT fellowship, you're a GIFT fellow, and the fellows have access to the ongoing content. There's an annual enrollment into the next GIFT class and the next GIFT class, and so we all have access to the content, and it's great just to get inside of there and read current thinkings, read some of the changes. You know, I think when you're a continuous learner, you're constantly evolving and improving your craft. And in doing that, you realize, you know what, I may have made a mistake whenever I said something or did something 5 years ago, 6 months ago. And being open enough and transparent enough to realize, you know, I think this is a better way to do it. So that application is constantly evolving as we learn new ways. So we all, as fellows and as the current students, we try to continue to participate inside of there. And then I personally, I've been able to meet some great people that continue to be parts of my lives that I can hang out with. David Stowie, Steve Young, and even Gary himself. I've been fortunate enough to develop a personal relationship with him and connect on phone calls and text messages or group emails and occasional meetings like this, just to see faces and hear voices.
Awesome. It definitely seems like the GIFT Fellowship was definitely valuable for you and influences how you treat people today. Let's just speak about some personal attributes that you have that you think kind of give you an edge in the therapy world or maybe set you apart. Speak a little bit more from a personal perspective of some techniques or some personal attributes that you feel are important to achieve success in physical therapy.
You know, echoing some of the things that we mentioned earlier about the GIFT program, JD, I think being able to experience that, my personal perception as I journeyed through kinesiology and physical therapy and some of the earlier Khan Ed courses that I went to. And this, again, this is just my story, right? But my perception and learning during that time took on more of a very isolated approach. A lot of things that I learned and took in were compartmentalized. Journeying through gift helped me to just understand the vastness of things and the complexity of things. And, you know, we really don't have this human body thing figured out. And it's not as simple as this is the answer. It's vast and it's very complex. And one of my mentors said we may really understand 5% of the human body, and we're learning things about it constantly. So taking that approach into treating patients allows me to be vulnerable, allows me to really consider the many areas that can impact someone. And applying this and all of the systems that we understand and know so well as a profession, things such as exercise physiology, things such as nutrition, things such as biomechanics, things such as sleep, things such as spiritual and emotional well-being. We understand that all those things impact the human body, the human movement. And being thoughtful and mindful enough to take that application to every client is something that I deeply value. I don't think I'm any better or special than the next therapist or a strength and conditioning coach or healthcare practitioner that wants to help the person in front of them. But I do know that I perceive things differently now because of what I experienced. And that's what I aim to take whenever I'm working with my clients.
That's a great advice. I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners today. I know you mentioned many people on this call already on the podcast, but I want to give you a special opportunity to recognize any type of mentors that you have had. So either personally, professionally, or both, if you could just share a little bit who and which people have had the biggest influence on your personal and professional growth.
You know, I mentioned Max earlier, just a great individual, a great person. Obviously, Dr. Dunn, I was fortunate enough to have her as a professor when I was in school, spent time with her on a clinical rotation, continue to have a personal relationship with her. Both of those people have impacted my life tremendously. I've been fortunate enough to have many stories cross paths with many awesome individuals. But for the purpose of your question, if I got to narrow down, you know, to one of those great people, it would have to be Gary. You know, I met Gary in 2007, and my first encounter with him was him getting up and speaking of parts of the world that didn't have water to drink. And I went to this course. I sought this course out to selfishly become a better practitioner that could bring value to myself in treating the sports medicine world. It was just at a point that I was at in my career, and selfishly went there. I call it egotistically now as I look back at it. But he gets up there and he speaks about parts of the world that don't have water to drink. And he's looking at 500 people. You know, practitioners, and we're in the room and we're waiting for him to get up there and give us his allness. And he's speaking about these parts of the world that didn't have water to drink. And he says, you know, the problem with this is that the large percentage of you inside of here, really, you know, he used another word, but basically he said, really don't give a crap about this. And he sits back down. I pull my calendar out. I'm making sure I'm in the right place. This just doesn't seem right. And then he gets back up again and he says, it was like 30 seconds later, it seems like 5 minutes, he gets back up and says, you know, what's worse than the fact that we've got parts of this world that don't have safe water to drink is that a large amount of you inside of here is still more upset with the fact that I just said, again, another word, crap, than the fact that we have places in this world that don't have safe water to drink. And so from that point on, you know, he really had my attention. He's just a amazing man personally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. He's very creative in his treatment approach. I swam before I met him personally. That same conference, I swam at lunchtime. I was doing triathlons really heavy at that time. And I swam there at lunch for a break. And we come back to class, and he starts the course off for the afternoon with a question of, hey, was anyone swimming inside of here during the lunch break? And so I'm sitting in the back of the room, and I raise my arm, and he says, you have left shoulder pain or right hip pain? And my answer to him was yes, because at that time in my career, I had experienced and was currently experiencing pain and limitations with both of them. He and I never spoke an ounce about that. And so he really had my attention at that time because I had seen multiple practitioners with minimal relief. And here I am supposed to be a physical therapist and be able to help people and change the way they move and perform better. And I'm walking around with injuries that I couldn't work through. This guy never asked me a question, but observed me from a distance. He wasn't even at the poolside. Nobody was at the poolside. This guy was at a distance and recognized that I had issues. So I wanted to know a lot more about what he had. And so at that point in time, he had my attention. And since then, he's taken me under his wing. He's become a mentor, a friend, someone who I can confide in, both personally and professionally. And he's helped me tremendously. My life is on a different trajectory because of my relationship.
And not only in the field of physical therapy, but I know he's a huge community supporter up in his state of Michigan. Just talk a little bit about how what he does with some of his summer basketball camps have led to what you are doing here in the community of Lafayette.
Yep, he does a camp there that's called Hot Rock, and it's a community give back camp. He's a big believer, like as you can imagine, in the we have a responsibility to make a difference in our communities. You know, we need to leave this world a little bit of a better place than it was prior to our getting here. And so each summer he does a camp up there where he invites some of his buddies, a large amount of them. They come in, they get to hang out and have fellowship with one another and kind of almost a reunion of sorts. And during that week, they invite athletes, you know, from all ages, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, all the way up to 18-year-olds. And it's a sports camp. It's a big blast of a sports camp where they use those type of activities to break the ice, to have conversations with these young men around things that we've experienced when we were their age. And, you know, just to give them some support and some encouragement, let them know, hey, look, I've been where you are. I've made it through it. Here's what you have to look forward to. Here's some nuggets that you can anchor to that'll help you during this time so that you can hopefully become an amazing coach or amazing doctor, successful lawyer that cares about our community, a better husband, a better father. And so I was fortunate to experience that and be a part of that. And, you know, I realized, God, man, I got a ton of buddies. The good Lord has blessed me with a ton of friends. How cool would it be if I was able to pull something off like this in Lafayette area? And, you know, that was a seed that was planted in my head by my time with Gary in 2007, 2008. And in 2009, we started the game camp here, and we've just recently celebrated our 10th year. You know, it's been something that you've been able to participate in. I'm grateful for your time and commitment to helping us do this. And, you know, we're just trying to do the same thing. Can we create an opportunity and an environment where we can yoke up with some of our young men in our community and help them and encourage them and allow them to see that there is a better way, there is a brighter way, and that our community needs them to become their best self so that the Lafayette area, the Acadian area can continue to improve and move forward.
Definitely. The game camp has impacted many young men in our community, headed on by Brian Saunier and many of his colleagues in the region of Lafayette. We're going to move on from mentor to talk about some memorable moments in the field of physical therapy. I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about one special moment or a few special moments, a patient that you specifically remember that kind of stands out, that makes you proud to be a physical therapist. Just share with the audience some specific moments in your career of physical therapy that are memorable.
Sure. Thank you. As I alluded to earlier, you know, I went into my career wanting to be an extremely successful sports physical therapist and working with the highest of the highest level of athletes. And the good Lord allowed me to experience some things, including the 2x4 moment of getting hit in the head with Gary's comments about having water to drink. You know, and from that time on, I changed my definition of an athlete. You know, an athlete is someone who I feel has a willing and able body and spirit to enhance the lives of others around them. And so I'm fortunate to have worked with many amazing athletes, from the 86-year-old grandmother that's got to get back to being able to prepare her Sunday meal for her family, to the 6-year-old girl tennis player that hurt her knee and needed to get back to practicing. So I'm grateful for the many patients, clients that I've been able to work with, the stories that I've been able to be a part of. If I've got to narrow it down to one, I would say, you know, 2 years ago, I met an amazing young man who unfortunately had suffered a Lisfranc injury, had surgery, was staring at a potential second surgery, which would likely be a career-ending injury for him. He was a very high-level D1 running back, and I was fortunate enough to become part of his care. And, you know, we journeyed together. We got to know each other a little bit better. He's a former game athlete, so we knew one another, and able to reconnect and work with him through this, and to see him go through his struggle, to see him work through it and increase his motivation and his confidence, and see him regain use of not only his foot and ankle, but his whole lower body, his core, and get back onto the field with equal or even greater success. To be a part of that was really neat. To see the young man journey as a young man and continue to mature as a young man, and he's very, very likely to have an opportunity to play at the next level in the very near future. It's been really cool to be a part of that. If I had to label it down to one, it would probably be that story. But again, I'm just grateful to all of those who have trusted me with the opportunity, you know, to be a part with restoring their movement and, you know, getting back to the things that they love to do.
Well, definitely a great memorable moment there. And we're going to move in, you know, a lot of times in the professional ranks, people want to talk about the good times, but oftentimes we overlook some of the challenging parts. So just talk about one of the moments where you've had a hard day in the life of a therapist, and how do you deal with those things, and how do you overcome some of those hard days?
I'm grateful you asked that question, JD. I believe that we just talked about a success moment, right? And I believe that all of our success moments are snippets. They're just a quick snapshot of that success, but it's built upon the film reels of failures, right? And so I believe it's important for us to journey through those times and learn through those times and those failures. I wish that my hardest time as a therapist would have been one day. Unfortunately for me, it was more of a phase of my career that covered the span of a couple of years. But it's a time frame that I'm extremely thankful for, because as I look back on it, I've learned so much because of that time and been able to grow so much as a man, as a therapist, as a leader, because of that. And it was back when we were transitioning from our senior leadership, moving out into retirement. I was transitioning from 100% in-clinic staff therapist into beginning to understand some of the managerial and administrative responsibilities. And I was somewhat split, and I felt as though I was had my hands and my attention needed on a lot of things, but I was really doing a poor job at all of them. I felt that it was extremely challenging and struggling to really be present with my patients when I was with them, and my clients when I was right there in front of them, because of the things that I was juggling in my mind that I knew needed to get done. And then when I was supposed to have attention on the things I was supposed to get done, I also knew that I had a patient list piling up or documentation responsibilities piling up, and the need to grow areas of our business. It was a struggle. The company that we were at the beginning of this time was evolving and changing. We were rapidly growing. And so the models of leadership that I had perceived before really weren't applicable to the type of company that we had become. We went from a very small company to a rapidly growing company. And, you know, I look back at that time and I felt like I failed every day inside of there. And because of that, the things that I've been able to learn and experience, I know today, still, obviously still flawed and still with many things to learn and improve upon, I'm a better leader today. I'm a better administrative today, because it showed me, it allowed me to experience the need to surround myself with amazing people, give them the freedom to get into areas and do the things that they are gifted and talented in. And the fruit is in the is in the results. You know, the seeing where our company is now, the amazing team that we have, the amazing people that remained with us throughout that journey, and the position that we're in now as a company has a lot to do with those failures and those hardest times in my career.
That's a great, great story right there about how you got through a phase in your career where you were in transition from more of a clinical role to an administrative role. Spent a lot of time so far on the Well Within Reach podcast talking about Brian's past, talking about his present. Now we're going to jump to the future, and Brian is definitely known as a visionary in the field of physical therapy, so I'm sure we'll get into the part of the podcast that he'll really enjoy. But when we look to the future, just tell us a little bit about what excites you moving forward.
You know, JD, so thank you for the compliment of being a visionary. I often err too much on that side. I've got to be pulled back to where we are today. It's easy for me to get caught up in tracing that rabbit hole that's 5 to 10 years down the lane for us. But, you know, personally, I love and value old things, love and value old houses that have been restored and remodeled. I love old vehicles and old trucks, those traditional classic things. I love that I married my high school sweetheart. Again, you know, she's not old, right? She's not like the old house and old car. I'm not saying that. But just that traditional story that goes around the things that have lasted, that have been tested and proven to be true. I love those things. But man, I'm also an innovation geek, an innovation nerd. I love to see what's coming down the pipe. I can't wait to see the things, the obstacles that my sons deal with when they are married and raising their kids. You know, what do they have to, we have social media and those kind of things to deal with. What are they going to be dealing with as parents? I get excited when we think about what's coming. And in our profession, I can't wait to see the way that things like documentation and objective measurements of human movement and human vitals are captured. I think that that's going to look drastically different a year from now. I can't wait to see what it looks like in 5 years or 10 years from now. Those are some of the things that I get excited about. Again, like you said, we could probably talk for hours about, you know, the visionary and what are some things that can happen and how can we make that happen? I get stoked when we talk about those kind of things.
Definitely some good things to look forward to in the future. You know, Brian's going to be on the leading forefront of many of those changes in the profession. As we come to the end of this podcast, we want to talk a little bit about legacy and something that's, I think, important for all of us to think about and to make decisions on. So I just want to pose this question to you, Brian. When all is said and done, what do you want to be remembered for?
That's almost as good as that failure question, JD. I'm glad that you asked that. You know, I was asked this question probably about 15 years ago. And I'm so thankful that I was asked that question at that time because it's had a drastic impact on me personally and professionally. And I'm a firm believer in beginning with the end in mind. You know, when we start a project inside of MTS, I want to make it clear that we understand what the ideal outcome is. And then from there, we can go backwards and create plans and strategies and identify how we're going to measure our success. And I apply that same approach to my life. You know, every day it's important for me to re-anchor to, hey, what will they say when you're done? And what will they say about you when you're on your deathbed? And for me, I hope that message, you know, based upon who's saying it and their words and their perspective of our relationship, that it somewhere along the lines of, you know, Brian constantly seeked to create environments that allowed others to become better, mentally, physically, and spiritually, in their roles, so that ultimately, you know, those individuals will be able to create that same reaction for someone else. If it's some form of that, I believe I will have served in a capacity that the good Lord has put me here on this earth to serve in. And I'll die with a pretty good smile on my face.
Definitely. That would be a great legacy. And I think it's important for all our listeners to hear of the different legacies from our guests that they want to be remembered for, because when you know what you want to be remembered for, it makes the day-to-day decisions a little bit easier because it keeps the ultimate goal in mind. As we come to a close here in the conclusion section, Brian, I appreciate you joining us. I just want to give you an opportunity to share anything that we may have not covered here on the Well Within Reach podcast, but also please give the listeners your contact information, your calling card, not only for MTS, but also for the game camp. They're interested in participating with that. Where can they reach you? Please share some final thoughts with the audience today.
Awesome. Well, JD, again, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for having me on. This has been really fun. It's pretty cool to do these kind of things, and I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to do it with you. And in closing, you know, my contact information, bsaunier@mtspts.com. I'd love to connect with you just to get to know you. I'm a geek when it comes to developing relationships. And so I would thoroughly enjoy to meet you and get to know you and help you in any way that I can. And if I have to leave our listeners with any thoughts, you know, I would encourage you to value your story and to be willing to share your story. You know, I believe that the good Lord's given us a ton of gifts and talents, and it's different for each and every one of us. And I believe that he did that so that all of our stories can mesh together, can impact one another, and ultimately improve the story of humankind. So appreciate your time and your attention and giving me your ears and a little bit of your day. Thank you.
Thanks to Brian Saunier, again, owner and clinical administrator from MTS Physical Therapy in Lafayette, Louisiana. We appreciate him joining us today on the Well Within Reach podcast. As a team, we hope that you find what we share here helpful on your journey. Whether you are battling physical issues or looking for kindred folks, we are honored to have the opportunity to connect with you. If you are looking for more information about our company, please visit mtspts.com. If you are looking to join our team, you can find all of our career opportunities on our website under the Careers tab. We believe in the power of physical movement along with emotional and spiritual connection. If you have content ideas for our podcast or feedback of any kind, you can reach us at podcast@mtspts.com. If you found value from the podcast, please share it with a friend. Make sure you will also subscribe so you can get notified each week as a new episode releases. You can subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We would be extremely grateful for that, as your reviews help encourage others to listen in. Remember, your best self is well within reach, and so is our next episode. We hope you will join us then.